Again, I'm in Luke 11. And beginning in verse number, what did I say? Did I say right? Did I say Luke? Luke 11, okay. Beginning in verse number 29 with me. And when the people were gathered thick together. That's what we've done this evening, this morning. We're in here kind of thick. Kind of thick. So when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. That'd kill a service, wouldn't it? I mean, they come down to hear him preach, and he looks out there. They gathered up thick, and he looks out there and said, this is an evil bunch. Well, that's not what you came for. But he looked at it, they gathered up real thick together, and he looks out at them, and he said, this is an evil generation. He said, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, there's a greater than Solomon that is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. I was excavating, you might say, in an antique store not long ago. That is the museum of yesterday. That's an antique store is a world that doesn't exist anymore. If you like to go in and look around. Archaeological digging in past generations. My childhood is now the medieval ages. What sad. It's pitiful. My childhood is now considered the Dark Ages. I mean, I try to tell my children what I used to do, and they look at me like, boy, that was boring. Well, you had to have been there. And then I was digging in this antique store, and I was finding relics and artifacts and fossils from my adolescent years. Our advanced age today has made my childhood the prehistoric age. Technology of 50 years ago is now prehistoric. Comic books and Life magazines are now ancient manuscripts, Dead Sea Scrolls. I was digging around in all of it, and I uncovered an ancient artifact that caught my attention. Picking it up, I blew the dust off of this candlestick. And I looked at that beat up brass candlestick and tried to imagine somebody in the darkness of the night years and years ago going through a dark house with that candlestick trying to find a safe place to lead them from place to place. Now that candlestick compared to today, that candlestick is considered old fashioned. That candlestick is old timey. It's just out of date. All the new inventions and the modern technology and has made that candlestick so old fashioned that it's just not needed anymore. But you let a storm blow up. You let the thunder crack and knock out the transformers. And you let the lightning strike and you let the floodwaters roll and you let the power go out. And all of a sudden, all of our modern technological advances now all of a sudden become obsolete. Power stations go dead and electrical computers, they malfunction. Transformers are gone. They all fell in a storm. And all of a sudden, we are thrown back into the dark ages. You ever gone in a store and they said, can't help you, computer down? Yeah. Well, they'd have never said that 50 years ago. They'd have had their little pencil and a paper and you'd have kept on going. Can't help you, my computer's down. And so when all these modern technological things happen and the power's gone and the lights are out, we reach for the old candlestick. The old-fashioned candlestick, it will always work when all the modern technological advances fail. It'll always work. A lit candle drives the darkness away. I don't care how dark it is, you light a candle, and you can see. A lit candle can lead you out of darkness. You can be surrounded in darkness and not know where the door is and not know which way to go. You light a candle and it'll lead you out of darkness. A lit candle can help you find the door. A lit candle can drive fear away. Darkness has a way of bringing fear with it. But you light the candle and it'll just run the fear off. You can see. I was in Walmart down south, our great stores. And my wife's shopping around and I'm over in the book section. And the federal government has come out with a little yellow handbook called the Federal Disaster Survival Guide. Well, being the kind of guy that I am, always wanting to survive, I had to have this little book. So I bought this little book and it teaches you how to prepare if a storm comes. It teaches you how to prepare for a natural disaster. Teaches you how to prepare for a terrorist attack. So I'm reading all this that we're possibly going to go through so that I can survive it all. And it gets down to three things, regardless of what natural disaster or storm or terrorist attack, it gets down to three basic elements if it hits. You better have water, pre-cooked food, and candles. That's all you're going to need to survive. When trouble comes, when disaster hits, what the government is saying, do it the old-fashioned way. When all this trouble that we're fixing to go through, when it hits, do it like mom and dad used to do when they were kids. When everything fails and nothing's working, do it like grandma and grandpa used to do. And so Jesus is looking out at this evil generation. And when he came, he says that they were sitting in darkness. He said, when I come into Galilee, they were sitting in darkness. And here I come and I stand before you and you've gathered thick and all you want is a sign. You've got no light and yet you want a sign. Disaster's fixing to hit and all you want is a sign. The power's gone out and all you come for is a sign. They had gathered thick together, but They come for a sign. They had gathered thick together, but they come for a miracle. They wanted excitement. That's what they came for. Signs are miracles and miraculous things. And they came because they wanted somebody to stir them up with excitement. You see, when they came and gathered thick together, they didn't come to hear his word. They didn't come to hear his preaching. That's not what they came for. They wanted a sign. They didn't come for a doctrine. They didn't want to learn any doctrine. They didn't come to get any grace. They didn't come for salvation. What they wanted, what they gathered for was a sign. Give us a sign. They wanted to see something. They didn't come for faith. They wanted him to do something so they could see it and gasp in amazement. They come because they wanted to see something. To them, without sight, it's impossible to please us. For this generation, without signs, it's impossible to please us. Without miracles, it's impossible to please us. Without excitement, it's impossible to please us. That's what this generation was. But in all reality, the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he stood up to give them faith, but that's not what they came for. They came for a sign. They didn't come to hear the word of God. You see, hearing the word of God is the old-fashioned way of finding God. Just sitting and listening to somebody preach, that's the old-fashioned way. The modern way is put the props and signs and miracles and excitement. Just do anything to stir our emotions. A candle is the old-fashioned way of seeing in darkness. A candle is the old-fashioned way of walking in darkness. A lit candle is the old-fashioned way of walking and not stumbling. And a lit candle, all it takes is somebody just has to hold it. It'll burn by itself. A candle doesn't need any help. It just needs you to hold it. It'll burn. And can I say the hearing of Jonah and the whole paragraph that we read of signs and Jonah and the queen and the candle. The first time I read that, I was trying to figure out what's he trying to say. But what he was trying to compare was that candle is like the preaching of Jonah. That's the old fashioned way. Jonah come into Nineveh and he said, you've got 40 days to get right with God. You've got 40 days and judgment's coming. That's that old time preaching. That's the way the old timers preach it. They didn't mind putting a little fear in there. Sometimes it takes a little fear to move us. Jonah come in. You see, that was the old fashioned way. It's the old fashioned way of hearing from God. Listen to somebody preach is the old fashioned way of seeing God. It's the old fashioned way of finding the door. It's the old fashioned way of walking in darkness. That's the old-fashioned way. It's lit with a fire. That's the old-fashioned way of feeling God. Hearing that preaching's the old-fashioned way of getting the soul stirred up to move towards God. A lifted voice is the old-fashioned way of preaching. And it just needs somebody to speak it because it'll burn all by itself. It doesn't need any help. It doesn't need signs. It doesn't need props. It doesn't need pictures. That word will do the job all by itself. 32 years ago, when I walked into that little Baptist church on the north side of Houston, all that was there was a man standing in a simple pulpit with a Bible in his hand. And I'm telling you, that power fell upon me and it's worked for 32 years. It didn't need nothing else. The word worked all by itself. And so what Jesus does, he's going to illustrate his point. And in illustrating his point, he borrows two Old Testament illustrations. He borrows the queen of the south and the men of Nineveh. Now, all preachers like to illustrate their points. And so Jesus, being equal opportunities, he's not going to let you women go without being preached to. And he's sure not going to let you men get by without being preached to. And so when he looks out upon this crowd that had gathered thick together, he uses an illustration about women and he uses an illustration about men. That's an equal opportunist. He's saying the queen of the south, what he's saying is, women, you need wisdom. And he's saying, men, you need to repent. Because you see, that's the old-fashioned way. The old-fashioned way of getting wisdom is coming and listening to the preaching. Now, I'm not against the philosophy of Dr. Field, but that's not where you get God's wisdom. But he said, if you want wisdom, women, come like the queen of the south. That's the old-fashioned way. And men, if you want to get right with God and repent, you come, because that's the old-fashioned way. You see, signs aren't enough. Signs don't burn in a storm. Signs, they won't give light and darkness. Signs won't shine when the wind's blowing. Signs won't save you at the judgment. Signs won't comfort you in trouble. But the word, the word on fire, like a lit candle, it'll burn in a storm. You ever been in one of those burdensome situations and all of a sudden, from depth of your soul, the word rises, a verse comes up that just speaks to you, that just kind of calms things? You see, the word of God, you put it in, it's a fire that burns. It'll burn in a storm. It's light and darkness. You know that little book I was telling you about? That little book, they wrote it to where the words will glow in the dark. So that when you're in the darkness and you need instructions in the natural disasters and the terrorist attacks and the storms, if the lights go out, the word glows in the dark. So you can sit there and read in the dark. Well, can I tell you, it'll glow in the dark? It'll glow in the dark. I never will forget one of the big, I was in a severe trial of my life back in the early 80s, and I'll never forget picking up my Bible, and my morning devotion happened to be in Job chapter 37, verse 21, and that verse says, men, see not the bright light which is in the clouds. And I'm telling you, when I read that verse, my life was in a cloud. It was darkened. It was being darkened by the clouds of the storm that I was in. And when I read that verse, it was like God speaking to my soul. In all those clouds, hey, there's a light. Men just don't see the light which is in the clouds. And I knew somehow that I was going to get through those cloudy days and that stormy time. That word, it was burning in the midst of a storm. That word will shine when the wind's blowing. The word of God will save you at the judgment. The word of God will comfort you in trouble. And so to prove his point, again, he borrows this Old Testament illustration about women, and he borrows the Old Testament illustration about men. Now, it says the queen. He said this queen, ladies, is going to rise up and condemn you. Now, he calls her a queen because she came to sit at the feet of Solomon and listen to the word of God. And he still likens a woman to a queen who will come and sit and listen to the word of God. He looks upon her as if she was a queen because she's come to hear the word of God. Now, the Bible says she come from the uttermost parts of the earth. You know how hard traveling is on a woman? Have you ever gone on a long trip with a lady? You're going to make a lot of stops. You might be one of them kind of guys that wants to do 80 miles an hour, get where you're going, but if you're going to take a lady with you, she's not going to let you. Traveling is not easy on a woman. I mean, and all of a sudden, here you've got a lady that is coming from the uttermost parts of the earth. She's coming by wagon. She's coming by horses. She's coming by mules. She's coming for miles and miles and miles. She's coming through dirt. She's coming through heat. She's coming through rough roads. She's coming through thieves, interstates, Motel Sixes, sweat, travel. It's just hard on a lady. But God said, this lady is going to rise up and condemn you because she come from so far and through difficult times, and you won't even come across the street. And he said, rest assured at the judgment, when you stand up, he said, this lady's going to rise up and condemn you because you won't come. And yet she come from so far. George Whitefield, one of my preachers that I love, I got 18 biographies, and I read about it. I want to know what color of socks he was wearing. I mean, he is just one fascinating preacher. But he married this girl named Elizabeth. And him and Elizabeth, they catch a boat going back to England off the coast of Georgia. And at that time, the Spanish ships were pirating some of the English ships that were sailing. And so when they sailed, all of a sudden this ship showed up on the horizon, and they said it was a Spanish pirate ship, and they thought it was going to come and attack the ship that they were on. And so the captain ordered everybody up on the deck and was putting rifles in everybody's hand. And George Whitefield said, I think it's time to pray. He goes down into the hull of the boat to pray, but Elizabeth said, you give me a gun, and I'll fight the Spanish. Oh, she gonna rise up and condemn you one of these days. She was ready to fight. Ladies, we have done everything we can. We've made it as soft on your behind as we can. We've got sound systems so that you can hear. We've got singing to please and lift your soul. We have got set the thermostat for all of your comfort. We got the smell of freshness in the auditorium. We've got security so that nobody will steal your purse, and still you won't come. And if you won't, I'm telling you, the Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment and condemn you, because she come for wisdom. She didn't come for wealth. She came for wisdom. She came because she was saying, how do I live better than I'm living? I need wisdom. How do I go home and make my home a more pleasant place? How do I go home, Solomon, and make my house more comfortable and enjoyable? I need wisdom. How do I survive my troubled times? I need wisdom. How do I get along with my husband? I need wisdom. How do I raise my children? Solomon, you've got all the wisdom of the world. The whole world knew that he was the wisest man. And she come to ask all these questions. How do I take care of my home? How do I live with my husband? How do I raise my children? How do I live with these infirmities? How do I exist with these afflictions? How do I handle all these troubles? And the Bible said, if you'll go back, when she did come, she went home with two things. She come from afar for the wisdom. And she came and saw the way Solomon was living, and she heard his words, and she went home with two things. Number one, she went home with happiness. When she came and stood there in those chambers of Solomon, remember what she said? She said, look, everybody's so happy. Happy are thy men. They serve you. They obey your words. They obey your commands. And how happy are thy servants. And she got some of that happiness and went home. What she got, when she left, she said, when she got there, she said, she looked around, she said, only the half had I heard. And you know what she got when she got there? She got the other half that she hadn't heard about. So she, you know what she went home with? The whole. She heard the half, and she come and got the other half, and she got the whole loaf and got to go home with it. Ladies, if you leave today without any happiness, if you leave today with a half that you didn't know, if you go home today with no more hope than you had when you came, if you go home today with no more of heaven in your soul, if you go home today with no more happiness than you had when you came, if you go home with no help from God, if you go home without Him enlightening you, can I say that the Queen shall rise up and condemn you? Because she came for wisdom the old-fashioned way. And then there's the men. Now, ladies, you can take a break. Men, straighten up. Speaking to you, Rambo. The men of Nineveh are going to rise up and condemn you. You know how hard-headed men are. Now, ladies, you right there is your cue to shout amen. Amen. Men are hard-headed. They're not only hard-headed, they're hard-hearted. That's just the way they are. And to get men today to repent, why, it would take a lot more preaching than I've got. And the Bible says that when Jonah come into that city and begin to preach, it said that that king arose from his throne. The king arose from the throne. Now, do you know where men's throne are today? It's their lazy boy. They get home and they get in that lazy boy and then they get that scepter in their hand. Son, they get that remote. And they are the king of the world. ESPN, Sci-Fi, CNN, Fox News. I mean, they can change the world at a flip of a finger. They're God. Don't you dare. You better bring them their food while they're in their lazy boy. They're not going to come get it. They're in their throne. And to get a man to get up out of his throne and repent of the things that he's doing, I'm telling you, these men of Nineveh are going to rise up and condemn us all. But when Jonah come in preaching, they arose from their throne. It said he laid aside his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. He sat in the ashes. And the Bible said he cried mightily unto the Lord. And to get men today to come and repent of the things they're doing, I'm telling you, they're hard. And they're hard-headed. But here's what the Bible says. It does say that when those men repented, when the men of Nineveh repented, you can go back and read it for yourself, but it said God repented. When men repent, God repent. Because you see, when God repented, he repented of the evil that he was going to do to them if they didn't repent. You got 40 days. What if God looked upon us today and said, you've got 40 days is all you've got. What would you do with it? Would you get right today and spend the next 40? With peace in your heart? When they repented of the evil that they were doing, God repented of the evil that he was going to do to them. That sounded like a pretty good deal to me. When they repented, God refused to judge them for the way they were living. And you go back and look at the way the men of Nineveh were living. They were living pretty evil and pretty wicked. So wicked and evil that you would think that God would never, ever allow them salvation or to give them any kind of salvation. But when they repented, God refused to judge them for the way that they were living. When they repented, God repented. He redeemed their homes and their children. He spared everybody. He was going to wipe out the whole families. He was going to wipe out the whole city. Jonah said, you got 40 days. But he redeemed everybody. He redeemed every child, every mom, every dad, every young person. He redeemed them all. They became rich in salvation. The prayers of those men saved that city. The prayers of those men saved their homes. Saved their children, saved their marriages. It saved everything because they came and repented. Do you know why some homes go all to pieces and some marriages fall all apart? Because men won't repent. They will not come and say, I'm sorry, God, for the way that I've lived. So those men will rise up and condemn this generation because they believe the word the old-fashioned way. They didn't need a counselor. And I'm not against counselors. They got right with God through repentance. That's the old-fashioned way. That's the old-fashioned way of getting putting a home back together. That's the old-fashioned way of sparing a city. That's the old-fashioned way. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. What did you come for this morning? Only a sign for a thrill and a song? But there's wisdom and repentance. There's salvation. There's so much more to get. Believe God the old-fashioned way. Believe and repent the old-fashioned way. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. Ladies, you come for wisdom. Piano player, would you come to the piano? My invitation is, ladies, you need wisdom to know how to live with your situation. You need wisdom for your husband. You need wisdom to raise your children. And men, if you thought that everything was going to fall apart because of what you were doing, would you come and repent? Would you? And if you would, God said the lady's a queen, and he said to the men, he said, I'll repent of everything that was going to happen to you. As the piano player plays, would you come? Lord, give me wisdom. I need wisdom, Lord. I need to know how to live in this crazy age. I need to know how to live with taking care of my family, my children. That's just the old-fashioned way of asking God for help. The old-fashioned way of saving marriages and homes is for men to repent. He saved everybody in the city. He saved every child, every home, every marriage. And all they did was just repent. All they did was arise and come. So help me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. We sure don't want that generation to rise up and condemn us. He's a good God. He's quicker to forgive than we are to repent. Nineveh lived on for 800 more years before she finally crumbled into dust. Has made it simple.
Seek ye the old paths, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The day in which we live. Over the last, and it really hasn't been to where it's really been heavy on my mind and on my heart, probably but the last several weeks. And based upon a number of factors, but I have concluded we've spent a lot of time as independent, fundamental, King James Bible-thumping Baptists condemning the likes of Pentecostals and Charismatics, and I'm not soft-soaping that. I'm not for any kind of foolishness. But God has revealed to me of late the humanism that exists in fundamental Christianity today. And it is, I am so keenly aware of it now that it is actually mind-boggling. I'm talking about our crowd, the things that we do. The things that we say are important, the things that we say need to be done, the methods in which we employ. It's humanistic. And Brother Dan is absolutely right. We don't need that. We need to go back to the old way. All we need is a candle. Need a little light. Give us the word, Lord, and a little light, and we'll be all right. And when we want to come some other way, he's right. Generation after generation after generation will rise up and condemn us because we've had it so easy. So easy. And we still won't come. We still won't come. That, my friend, was probably greatest message I've ever heard in my life. I sat there. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, there was and there wasn't. It was so profound. And it speaks volumes to who we are, male and female alike, young and old alike. And it's so pointed. And we need to do something with it. We need to do something. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. But I know this. He's absolutely right. Little candle. What we did last night, I was reminded of it. A storm was approaching. My wife didn't say, "You better go out and buy a generator." She always does it. Now, I guess we went a little beyond the old-fashioned way. We get the candles ready, but we also sought out a flashlight. But by modern means, what are those? Well, if it's dark, they'll get you through, right? And we're so far away from the old paths that I'd still be home rubbing two sticks together, trying to get a fire going. But praise the Lord. Obviously, many of you saw the profound truth behind what was said this morning. And let's do something with it. Remember, he asked us to pray for tonight's service. Don't take that lightly, folks. I mean, I'm not saying spend from now until you come back tonight, but by all means, make it a matter of, think about it. We asked him to come here and preach to us. Don't we want him to preach what God wants him to preach? Don't we want him to preach with all the power that he can spiritually muster up? Don't we want him to preach the message that God wants us to hear, as opposed to, hey, he's been preaching for years and years and years. Believe me, we couldn't keep him here long enough to exhaust all the messages he could pull out and preach to us. But we need to hear the ones that this group of people needs to hear. And that's what we ought to pray for. Amen. Pray for his filling and his power and our reception of it. Thank you again, brother, for the message this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And, Lord, we thank you that the storm blew on out. And, Lord, we're looking forward to a great, wonderful week. And more importantly, Lord, not just good weather. Good weather, I suppose, will help us all to not have any excuses that way to not be here. But, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just be fair weather kinds of Christians. I pray through thick and thin and through storm after storm and in the sunshine, Lord, that we would seek, that we'd be like what we heard today, Father. People that recognize the importance of the Word of God and simply acted upon it. And so, Lord, help us to be focused that way this week, and may each one derive a just benefit from it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Enjoy your day. See you back.